Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. If you'll look there with me tonight. Luke 14 and verse 25. And there was a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. These verses are, I guess we could call this extreme Christianity, extreme discipleship, because the call of the Lord, it seems way, way beyond anything that we can even imagine. The call of God and to leave family, to leave all of these things. I think there's an important message in this text and it's one of the reasons why some people start off with the Lord, but they didn't count the cost. Like those who start building a building, but they didn't count the cost. They didn't realize that what Jesus is calling us to do is to give him everything. That's discipleship. That our whole life belongs to him. That's discipleship. And I really do, if you look at of what is happening today, and God forbid that we would take on some of these unbiblical activities in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just think with me what is happening, and I've observed this and even read a lot of books that talk about, you know, ways to get people to church, to get them to church and do everything you can do to make them feel comfortable at church and do nothing that would make them feel uncomfortable. And I see that there is a real problem with the measuring of that kind of a philosophy with the New Testament. That's not New Testament discipleship. That's not New Testament Christianity. You don't see that philosophy anywhere in the New Testament. For an example, there's some churches that you would go to, and they have made the parking as comfortable as possible for you. That's kind of nice. And I've known of they've had attendants out there with umbrellas to help you get in the door. That sounds pretty nice too. Then they got, you know, nice looking people inside the door smiling and greeting, answering your questions and making everything. Then they point you, if you've got a baby, here's our nursery department. It's fully staffed with, and it lists all the wonderful things that they have in the nursery. It almost makes you want to go and stay in the nursery. It sounds so good. And then they have a children's program that's state of the art. I mean, they've got everything you can imagine, all kinds of electronic things and games. And one church even has these games where they can slide and do all kinds of things. And when you go to pick them up, you just stand at the end of the slide and they slide right into your arms. All these things are what the modern emerging church is doing, trying to make it as easy as possible. And as you go into the service, you pick up an iced coffee as you're going in. And the seat's going to be very comfortable. The music is not going to be anything that the unsaved is going to feel uncomfortable with. It's going to sound like the music you listen to
every day out in the world. It's going to sound very similar to the worldly music, and the messages that are preached are going to be very comforting and very encouraging. And that all sounds really good, doesn't it? And we'll promise it won't last any more than 1 hour. It's just going to be 1 hour. If you'll just take out your 1 hour, then we'll make everything about you going to that church, you know, good for you and easy for you, and you won't have to worry about any. Everything is just going to be, your worship experience is just going to be great. The only problem with that is you can't find that in the New Testament. It's not there. When it comes to coming to Christ, Jesus repeatedly says, if you're going to come after me, you are going to have to take up the cross. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The theme and the message of New Testament Christianity was sacrifice and self-denial. If any man is going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And that's terminology. You know, the cross was a place of death. And Jesus was literally saying, if you're going to come after me, then deny yourself, your selfish desires and the flesh, and take up your cross. Or you personally, die every day to your flesh and to your own desires and what you want. Boy, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? Especially in a lot of what is happening today. And I'm not just casting stones at other people or other churches. I'm just simply saying that, well, we need to make sure that we are. And this has been something that's been on my mind for some time. We need to make sure that what we are practicing here is New Testament Christianity. New Testament ministry. What we're doing, that it aligns, it's aligning with the Word of God. And what others do, that's between them and God. But what we do, it needs to be New Testament, a New Testament ministry. Amen. I read this quote. It said, no sermon is ever quite a success which leaves men satisfied with themselves. I tell you, there have been a lot of times when I've been sitting in the pew listening to somebody preach, and I got to feeling pretty uneasy because it sounded like they were talking about me. And it sounded like something that I was involved in, or my thinking, or my philosophy. And many times the Word of God has that kind of an influence upon our life. It's totally counter to the flesh. And the desire is to see that the spiritual man is affected by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so our ministry, if it's to be a New Testament consistent with the New Testament, then it needs to be one that includes the message of sacrifice and the message of unselfishness and the message of being a servant. That's the call of God, isn't it? Amen. That's the call of God. And you know, every role in the church, the minister, the pastor, his role is really service to the kingdom of God. The role of other leaders of the church, the deacon, the very term deacon, it deals with that very subject of servanthood, giving of yourself, pouring out of yourself. And really, that's what Christian leaders, New Testament leaders, are to be doing. It's not who we are, or how important we are, or how we can be important. But instead, how can we point others to Jesus Christ? How can we live our lives in such a way to sacrifice a selfless ministry and a ministry that is a ministry of servanthood? Mark 10:44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest, these are the words of Jesus, shall be servant of all. We know that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. That's the way it is in the New Testament church. The person who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom is the person that finds his place in his role as servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom. And so if we're going to have a Christ-centered ministry and a New Testament ministry, then it has to be that giving out, giving out, giving out, pouring out, servanthood, selflessness,
loving the Lord, loving to give to God, loving to minister to others. So in light of that, oh God, help us to never make the mistake of trying to develop. Now, some of the things I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with running out with an umbrella and helping someone in the door. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying let's not catch the mentality that serving Jesus is the easiest thing that's going to ever happen to you. It's just not true, because it's a giving of yourself. If you're going to be my disciple, then you take up your cross. You deny yourself. You follow me. And what did Jesus do? He lived the life of a servant that finally brought him to the cross. And he had multitudes of people in this text. It's describing a great multitude of people that were with him. But Jesus' ministry, it finally just got down to the 12. And even whenever Jesus ascended into heaven, he commanded the disciples to go and wait. I mean, there had been literally throngs and multitudes of people who had been following Jesus, but those who obeyed him and went to the upper room were only 120. In light of the great influence of his ministry, it was just a small group who really fit into this category of servanthood and willingness to do what the Lord would have them to do. Now, I really think that it would be an embarrassment, especially in light of what happened to first century Christians who were martyred by the hundreds and thousands who gave their life for the cause of Christ. And now, right now in the time we're living, you and I are living, according to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, an average of 171,000 believers worldwide are martyred for their faith every year. In light of the sacrifices, what's happening in the American modern church today, most of what's going on all over the world, you don't see none of that because it's impossible. In many of the third world countries you go to, you're going to see Christians who are suffering, Christians who serve the Lord under great pressure and who give of themselves and lay their life down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is not a very comforting Wednesday night message, is it? Amen. Actually, it was supposed to be Sunday night, but it didn't work out that way. Hebrews 11 and verse 30, all through the book of Hebrews, or in the chapter, faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, we read of all the great accomplishments of those who did what they did by faith. Tremendous, wonderful things that God did in the life. When we get down to the end of the chapter, there were some, even during those times, that by faith, their life, they had to go the way of suffering and sacrifice. Hebrews 11, 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. New Testament Christianity. What some suffered. I'm not saying that we will have to follow that exact same pattern, but don't be surprised if God doesn't call us and lead us into the role of being a servant and the role of being a minister and giving of ourselves and sacrificing and selflessness. Amen. Amen. So that's a part of New Testament ministry. And I have to say, many of these men, one of the most difficult things for me when Brother Clendenin had passed away was what I was mentioning Sunday night, was whenever he preached, pow, it was like a hammer. It was powerful. It was strong. I've listened to enough of Brother Huff's preaching over the last few weeks, and many of these men, their ministry, it wasn't that it wasn't loving, that it wasn't compassionate, but the word, according to Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire. Powerful. Purifying. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It's crushing and
and it deals with us, and it brings us to that place of yieldedness to the Lord. And we have men of God who have been faithful to the word of the Lord over the years, and we need to remain true to that here. True to that. Whatever is preached from the pulpit, Sunday school classes, all of our ministry, we need to be faithful to the word of God. Amen. Because that is what brings about lasting change. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, which it just means that it's alive. It's actively working. It's quick. It's powerful. It means there's a force or an impact that comes when the word of God is preached. And that's some of my problem with some of the new Bible versions, is because when you read it, it's obviously that the punch is taken out. And I don't have anything to do with any Bible version that softens the truth. I want to make sure that it is truly having the impact. Amen. A force, an impact, and sharper. It cuts. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. I like to be exposed to ministry. I listen to sermons a lot. I mean, a whole lot. And probably sometimes it would average one a day, probably. Sometimes not that many, but I listen to a lot. And I listen to some that when I hear it, I'm disappointed, because it doesn't have that force and that unction. And I'm always looking and searching for people when I hear their preaching, that it makes me feel like, oh Lord, I need to do better. I need to step up. I'm not what I should be. I need to align my life with your word. Amen. And I thank God for men of God who have that type of a ministry. May it always be true right here at this location that we are faithful to the word of God. Amen. Jeremiah told about prophets or preachers who ran, but they didn't have a message. Jeremiah 23:21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, when I read and went over these passages of Scripture, I just thought, oh, how absolutely necessary that is. To try it in your own power. Futile. To try it in your own power. But the Lord said, if they would have just stood in my counsel, if they would have just listened to my voice, and it caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, help us to have a ministry here at First Pentecostal that is consistent with New Testament doctrine. That it has had, it's faithful to the word of God. And that it expresses the message of Jesus Christ and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, where he gave it all. And we're to follow in his steps and to be like him and to be servant of all. Amen. Without wavering, without compromising. You probably read the story in 1 Kings chapter 22. This was when Ahab was trying to get Jehoshaphat together to go up against Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab had 400 prophets. And he said, now I've got these 400 prophets, and they have all said, I'm paraphrasing, they have all said, that's a good thing. You need to do this. Go up. This is what you need to do. But Jehoshaphat wasn't convinced. And so he said, isn't there at least one more prophet? 400 prophets, but he knew it wasn't the truth. Don't you have one more prophet? Isn't there somebody else that would prophesy concerning this situation? And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of Jehovah besides? Isn't there somebody else besides these who have just prophesied what we all wanted to hear? And the king
of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Jehovah. Micaiah is his name, the son of Imlah, but I hate him. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? There is another prophet, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Jehoshaphat said, we want to hear from this guy. We want to hear what he's got to say. And they have to run him down and search for this prophet Micaiah, or Micaiah, however you pronounce it. And he said, as he's coming back, he said, whatever the Lord says to me, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Whatever he says, I'll say it. A man that was courageous enough to walk into that great multitude and to say, if God tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. Amen. Amen. Oh, the need. You know, really, I honestly would love to see this building just jam-packed with people. But I have to be honest with you. I really don't think that is really the measure of our success with God. I don't think it is. Although I want to see it happen. I want to see many people come into the kingdom of God, and my heart would be thrilled to see the altars filled every service. And that's my prayer, that the Lord would just fill up this facility with people seeking after God and people convicted before the Lord. But Jesus, if we follow the model of Jesus, he started with the multitude. It got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until he'd get down to the 12 only. Amen. We have a responsibility before God to have a new ministry that is consistent with the New Testament. Amen. One of service to the kingdom of God, one of selflessness, one of sacrifice, one that's consistent and faithful to the word of the Lord without compromise. Amen. Isaiah 30, verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Sounds pretty contemporary, doesn't it? Speak unto us smooth things. And then he says, they say, prophesy deceits. That's what we want to hear. We don't want the truth. We want you to deceive us. I don't know how people could get so messed up and confused that that's what they would ask for. Deceive us. Lie to us. Don't tell us the truth. Prophets, don't hear the word of the Lord. Seers, don't see or what God is wanting to say or what he's wanting to do. It's because it was catering to the flesh instead of the spiritual. Amen. Oh, God, give us a New Testament ministry that is spirit-empowered, spiritual, that is having an effect upon the spiritual lives of people. One more section of verses here is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul, of course, talking to young Timothy, and he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He's telling young Timothy, you better take this serious, your job, your calling. Take it seriously, because you'll stand before God. Then he says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. The word there means to be earnest, to be urgent, to have an urgency to your ministry. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't want it. Just like Isaiah had prophesied, they'll say, prophesy deceits to us. We don't want to hear the truth. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Literally, that they would seek out teachers and ministries that would be depraved and carnal and would satisfy their carnal desires. I don't want to be deceived by a preacher or anybody. I want to know the truth And Paul told Timothy, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Amen. New Testament ministry. Amen. Amen. If we'll honor the Lord, if we'll stay true to the pattern of the New Testament, then I believe that just as God did in the book of Acts, the Lord will add to the church in His timing and His purpose. He'll add to the church such as should be saved. He'll do it. But we got to remain true. And when they get saved, they'll get the real thing. They'll get something lasting, something that will have such an effect upon them forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. And I thank you that you can speak to us as you have been over these last few days. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do that. Lord, speak to us. And that right here at this location, Lord, that there will be a move of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to such a degree that it'll be obvious, Lord, that you're doing it, that you are working, and that people, Lord, will be so affected by it. The church will be affected by it because it is the work and the move of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that that move of God will be so real and so powerful, Lord, that there will be those who are hungering for God that will be drawn in to the house of God, that are truly seeking after God. And Lord, you'll bring them in. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's stand together, everybody. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean to just pour out something, you know, so, heavy duty on a Wednesday night that you're feeling a little overwhelmed with it. But I really believe that the Lord wants to prepare us and do such a work in us that we can have an effect on people that are really hungering, thirsting after God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't know that it's time right now for us to just praise the Lord, but I do think it's time for us to examine ourselves and ask the Lord, would you help me, Lord, to hear your voice and to walk that walk of servanthood and selflessness and sacrifice, to follow the same pathway that you, Lord, followed, that we might experience your power in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you find a place to pray before we leave here tonight? Kneel at your seat, kneel at the altar, and let's pray a few minutes before we leave this service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.